We are almost, we are in week something with Pastor Tim's sabbatical. So today we have the honor to hear from Pastor Selwyn, if I'm pronouncing that right. He has something from us. Prepare your heart, prepare everything, that everything inside you to receive what the Lord has given to our pastor here. So would you stand and we pray? Let me pray. Let's pray for him as well, so that we may receive what the Lord has given him for us. Dear God, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be here together this morning. We are so in love with you, Lord. We need you. We want more of you at all times, Lord. And today, we are eager to hear from Pastor Selwyn, Lord, and what you have given him, Lord, and to his heart, that we may receive, Lord, the things that you have prepared, Lord. Please allow him to keep coming and driving safe to this place, Lord, every single Sunday that he's going to be here, Lord. We are excited to hear from him, Lord. We are also excited to see his family as well with him this morning. What a great opportunity, Lord, to meet a great person, Lord. And thank you so much for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to be here in this place. In your most holy name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Amen. Selwyn. Amen. Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank
brother.
You. God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. It's so great to be here with you guys. I am Selwyn. And if you don't remember Selwyn, since it's so unique, I am Brother Smith. So either one of those works for me. Some people said, yeah, I'll take that name. I'll take Smith. So it's so good to see you all here. I bring you greetings from the Austin area. And we say Austin because we're from a small town of Hutto. Anybody know Hutto? Hutto. Oh, I see a couple hands. All right. So that's where we're from. We are thankful for the privilege just to be here. Honored that Pastor Tim would reach out to see if I could come and be a part of the great work that's already going on here. So if you'll join me, let's just give our senior pastor, Pastor Tim, and his beautiful wife, Beth, a hand in their absence, and thank you for their leadership. We honor him, and we do pray that God is refreshing him, he's restoring him, even as he's away, that he's invigorated, that he comes back, and y'all gonna be like, whoa, wait, what happened? What's going on? We're thankful for moments of refreshing, that he can be restored, and that he comes back with fresh vision so that he can continue to propel the house forward. Amen. Amen. I do have the privilege and the honor of coming with my family today. All of them are here. So my wife, Toni, my beautiful wife who has put up with me for the last 22 years. 22. And I know that because we got married in 2000, so it's very easy for me to remember. 22. What year is it? 22. 22 years. There we go. So that's my wife, Toni. Our oldest daughter, Michaela, is here with us. She's a student, a junior going into her junior year at Texas Tech. So she and a friend of hers, they drove down on yesterday. So we're thankful that she's here. My middle daughter, Mariah, who actually just graduated high school, she will be attending Texas Tech. Y'all pray for my pockets, okay? Pray. Two college students. She will be attending, so we're thankful for her. And then my son, the one bringing up the rear, Caleb Andrew, he will be starting high school. Let's all have a moment of prayer. Amen. Amen. We are so thankful that we could be here. And I know when Pastor Tim reached out and asked about coming, the Lord instantly gave me a word for the church, and that is to remember God's goodness. To remember God's goodness. That his goodness is everything. That's one of the characteristics of our God, is his goodness. It's not just, you know, sometimes when we eat something, we say, that's pretty good. Or sometimes we say, oh, that person is very good. Those are things that happen, you know, to us that we experience. But this is God's very nature. He is good by nature. We can't experience goodness. We don't know goodness unless we have had an experience with the one who is goodness. So today we're going to explore a little bit more about the goodness of God. Is that all right with us today? Amen. Amen. I hope you have your word, your weapon, your sword with you. We're going to have the scriptures for you here on the screen. But before we dive in, I do just want to, again, we're going to be talking about the goodness of God, talking about his goodness. So as we begin to down this trek talking about God's goodness, I want us to reflect for just a minute as we start. Reflect for a minute on a moment of God's goodness. I think we've all experienced that. We recognize things, we recognize experiences, we remember experiences. And as I was thinking about this, I thought sometimes of how I recognize or I remember, you may have done this before too. You try to remember a kind of a car that's going down the street. You see a car. Now, my wife is really good at this. She'll say, oh, look at that Ford. And it's like a Chevy or something like that. Anybody else have an experience like that? Or look at that Lamborghini. And it's like, babe, that is a Mercedes. What are you talking about? Anybody else kind of have that same experience? But thinking about the goodness of God is something that we all have probably had an encounter with. So if we take a minute and just think about something that may have happened, maybe a particular instance that we were in, a situation where we knew that it was the overwhelming goodness of God that was with us. I know as I began to think about this, or thinking about God's goodness, I remember in particular, and my kids could probably attest to this, one particular Sunday, we were driving to church. And this particular morning, it was, I see heads shaking over here already. They're going, We were headed to church, and we got ready to take this left. And as we were turning left, we're going over a bridge, an overpass. And this particular morning, it was a little bit slippery. It was kind of, had been raining a little bit. Anybody been in those situations where it's just raining a little bit, so you're already a little bit cautious, you slow down a little bit, you take a little bit extra time. But this time, for some reason, when I turned left, I could feel our vehicle, and it's a kind of heavy vehicle at the time, it was an Expedition. And as I turned left to turn across the bridge, I could almost see the side of the bridge. I was turning, but the whole car was moving towards the edge of the bridge. Y'all remember that? It was traumatic for them. And even though the vehicle was almost turning out of the turning lane facing the edge of the bridge, it's like something happened and all of a sudden the wheel just began to turn back the other direction. And I thought I was in control, but I was not in control. Anybody have a situation like that where you know you see something coming at you, you see the fate, you see what could be happening, but all of a sudden it changes in an instant and you say, thank you, God. I don't know what happened there. We've all had instances where there was probably danger that we were spared from. There was probably a situation that we were spared out of. We were blessed beyond measure. That is the goodness of God in certain situations. So perhaps one of the most popular stories of God's goodness in the Bible is the story of the Good Samaritan, where we get our definition of a Good Samaritan from. That's found in Luke 10. I don't have that on the screen. I'll just kind of paraphrase it for you for now. But in this story, the Good Samaritan, a Jewish man, is attacked and robbed and left to die on the side of the road. Anybody remember this story? Attacked and robbed and left for dead just on the side of the road, just sitting there. Birds probably began to come and pick at him. He was left. Both a priest and a Levite. So a priest, we know, Levite would be the person that comes along to help the priest. They walked by in all of their dignitarianness. That's an actual word, dignitarianness. They looked at him. They turned and kept on going. But the man was there in need, dying, and needed help. But they decided to go on and go ahead. He wasn't important enough to stop and for them to render aid. Eventually, a Samaritan came along. And although in that time, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't play well together. They were enemies. And so the Samaritan comes along. And what does the Samaritan do? He bandages the Jewish man's wounds. He puts him on his own donkey. And not only does he do that, in today's language or today's terms, that would be somebody you stop to help somebody. You put them in your own car, and you know, this gas that's high prices, I don't know what, you know, you spend your own gas to take them somewhere. This is what he did. He took him to an inn in town. Not only did he take him to an inn and honk the horn and say, see you later. You know, he honked the donkey, honk, honk. He didn't do that. He said, you know what? I'm going to take it a step further, and I'm going to actually pay for the man to spend the night. Now, that sounds like some goodness to me. I don't know about to you, but does that sound like somebody in the act of goodness following what goodness really is? That's what we're talking about today. The same way, just as many of us in here may be parents, us as parents, we want to do good things for our children, right? We want to do the very best that we can. Our Heavenly Father desires to do the exact same thing for all of His children, for all of us. He wants to do the very best. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. He desires to do the very best that he can for you. That's his desire as a good father, as a good parent. So we should remember, however, that we're talking about these things that happen. Sometimes good things that happen to us may not always show up as happy experiences. How many can attest to that or say amen? Usually it's not when you're in the middle of it. After the fact, you can look back and say, you know what? That was a tough situation, but it was actually good for me. It was good for me to go through this. It was good for us. So sometimes tough experiences come disguised as adversary or hardship, but God even uses difficulties for your good. He uses them for your good. Romans 8:28, many of you know this already because you've already turned there and some of you are already looking ahead. And you see Romans 8:28, for we know that all things, God causes all things to work together for what? For good of those who love God and for those who are called according to his purpose. Thank you. All things means all things. Does that mean some situations? No, that means all situations. So whether it's good right now to us, it feels good or it doesn't feel good, this has to work for our good because we are called according to his purpose. Matthew 7:11, another reminder of how good God is. So if you, talking about us as human, being sinful in nature, despite being evil, because we were born with this nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? Those who simply ask. So maybe you find yourself right now in a situation where it's rough. The scripture is encouraging us right now to simply ask. What do we ask God? Whatever we stand in need of. What if we haven't seen it quite work out like we thought it should work out? What does the scripture say? We ask. He won't withhold anything from us. So that's talking about recognizing God's goodness. So secondly, we want to discuss receiving God's goodness. So you may ask yourself this question. You might say, self, and yourself say, huh? Why should God choose to show his goodness to me? Why does God choose to show his goodness to me? Because God's goodness, his kindness, leads to repentance. It leads us to a place where we can just draw a little bit closer to him. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy blessed side. His goodness is so that we can become closer to him. It brings us to a place where we can maybe turn from where we are if we find our place in a situation that's away from what God wants and turn towards him. That's what his goodness is for. God, who is by nature just simply good, like we said earlier. He urges us to come to repentance. As we read Romans 2 and 4, it says, he patiently waits for us. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? See, the biblical definition of repentance is to change one's mind, to have a change of heart, to turn. So that when a person repents, his actions or her actions should change. Acts 3 and 19 tells us that we are to repent, turn, and then turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. How many of you know right now in our nation we stand in need of a time of refreshing? Can you agree with me on that? We've seen a lot go on over these last few years. We are in need of a refreshing. In order for refreshing to come, the scripture tells us that we are to turn, repent, so that times of refreshing may come. Somebody sitting here today may actually be needing a time of refreshing. There's good news. There is hope here for you today. But as you begin to think about that, we have a little bit of a problem, because a lot of times when we think of sins, we begin to think, mine is too bad. I'm too far off. I'm too far gone. I'm off the path. There's no way God can forgive me. Or you have the opposite thought, where you think, I've been pretty good all my life. I haven't really done anything bad. I think I'm okay. A lot of times in our mind, we begin to play this weight, trying to weigh our sins. Now, for those of you who are Oreo lovers, don't take this the wrong way, but we're going to use this as an example, okay? All right? I'm not saying this Oreo is sin. We're going to use this as an example, if that's okay. As we begin to think about this, about the sin that we've had, a lot of times we want to say, you know what? I've only lied once or twice. I've only had one or two lies. Just one or two. I only say bad words every now and then. You know, it's not too many. It's not stacking up too bad. You know, I only slip up every now and then and have a fight with my wife. I've only killed one or two people. Just one or two. I've only used God's name in vain just a couple of times. It's not very much. I don't have very much sin in my life. And we begin to weigh. Some sin is much more than others. Some sin is much less. Y'all get where I'm going with this? Some sins are just too hard to bear. And we begin to try to, from our own viewpoint, begin to try to say, you know what? I have less sin than you. I'm dignified. I grew up in the church. I'm a little bit closer to God because I have less sin. Well, today I want to remind us that sin is sin. It doesn't matter how it stacks up. It doesn't matter how much we've had, how much we haven't had, whether we really enjoyed it, because, you know, honestly, I really do love Oreos, but I'm just using this for an example today. But it doesn't matter how many I've had, because you know what? It's not about how I view it. It's about how God views it. And God's view is different from my view. See, my perspective, we begin to see this. We begin to see, oh, you were in prison? You served a prison sentence? Yours stacks up. But God's view, he doesn't look at it from this angle where you can see all this. He looks at it from this side. And when he looks at us from this angle, from his perspective. We no longer see all the accounts. He sees the sin and he says, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. He doesn't say, but you know what? Yours is just a little bit too much for me to bear. Absolutely not. Christ did his best work on the cross when he decided, you know what? I have to have you in relationship with me. I have to have you closer to me. I have to have you restored. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die so that we can be in right relationship with him. His view says sin is sin. You have to repent. But there's nothing too big that I can't handle. There's nothing too strong that I didn't already bear on the cross for you. So I want you to know today, as you think about this, and as you begin to put the lies of the enemy out of your mind that says, I've had too much sin. There's been too much stacked up in my life. My thought life is not where it needs to be. As we begin to put that lie to death, let's accept God's goodness. Let's accept the forgiveness. Let's accept his goodness that he did, the work that he did on the cross for us, so that we don't have to live with this on our mind. We don't have to live trying to weigh our sin. He's already forgiven you for your sin. He's already forgiven you. See, sin separates us from God. But Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, I don't know about in y'all's definition, but in mine, all means all. That means we can look around this room and we know that we're all in the same situation. We all have shortcomings. We all have failures. Christ died for them all. Because of God's goodness, we are able to have relationship with him because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We no longer have to live separated. We can live in relationship with him. And I'm so thankful for that. Matthew 9:19, 16 through 22 tells this story that I'd like to read and go through. And someone came to him. Now, someone says this was a rich young ruler. Came to him and said, teacher, what good things shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? Notice the question. There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, well, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And almost interrupting, the young man said, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? Notice his question there. I've done all those. I've got a list, and I'm checking them off. Yep, I did that. I went to church. Mm-hmm, check. I paid my tithes. Half check. I speak to most of my people. I'm pretty good. Check. He's going down that checklist. Yeah, I did this. I did that. Like many of us do, checking, just kind of checking the boxes. Jesus said to him, verse 21, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. How do you think that would go over? But when the young man heard this announcement or this statement, he went away grieving, for he was the one who owned the most property. See, Jesus knew that the young ruler or this young man had broken a commandment, like all of us have before. He knew that he had another God in place before the one true God. He had at least one Oreo. But unfortunately, it doesn't matter if you have 10 or 1. Sin is sin, right? See, none of us can escape it. We've all sinned. But Christ comes. He has already paid the price so that we can have hope, so that we can be redeemed, so that we can be free. And Jesus is asking us today, we may be kind of checking off the list, going down the checklist of things. We will never be able to check all the boxes in our own goodness. We need him. We need to repent. We need to accept his free gift. And we need to live out our days for him. The third thing I'd like to talk about is believing God's goodness. Not only are we here to receive God's goodness, like we just talked about, and not only do we recognize his goodness and all the things that he has done for us before and that he will continue to do, but we want to believe God's goodness. See, there's something about believing. Psalm 27, 13 and 1, 13 says, I would have despaired unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen to that. There's some situations that we've probably been through before that we say, you know what? That's going to take me out. I don't know if I can do it had I not known that God's goodness would be there for me. See, that word despaired means to lose or to be without hope, to be lost, to be hopeless, to feel like you want to quit, to faint, to give up, to throw in the towel, to be just gloomy, depressed, pessimistic, discouraged, down, out. As I say those words, you can hear and feel the weight that they carry. Somebody here today may be feeling like, I don't know what I'm going to be able to do. I just feel depressed and hopeless. I want to encourage you today that there is goodness found in Christ. That's what we hold on to, that he is good. He is for you. He's more than the whole world against you. His plans for you are for great success and not for failure. That's what we believe in. Believe and trust in his goodness, that he is for you and not against you. And our final thought as the worship team comes, we want to show God's goodness. We want to show God's goodness. And how do we do that? We simply share what's been given to us freely with others. The experiences that we've had, we freely share those. The experience that we've had with Christ and how he miraculously changed our life, we share that. We share it freely and openly. Matthew 7 and 12 says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way that you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. How many of you have been to a place, a restaurant, or to a hotel, and you've experienced great customer service? You love it, don't you? You leave with a smile. You're ready to pull out that big tip. Give them a whole 8%. I mean, 20%, you know. But when you've had a good experience, it leaves you feeling some kind of way, doesn't it? And unfortunately, you all know when you've encountered someone that doesn't provide good customer service, someone that doesn't provide a pleasant experience, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, right? It makes you want to write them a little note on there. Let me tell you what you need to do. But God's goodness propels us in such a way that we want to share what he's done for us with someone else so that they can experience that same goodness. They can have that same experience. Hebrews 13 and 16. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for such sacrifices God is pleased. See, the goodness of God is the core of our Christian faith. It is because of his desire for our good that he provided salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. Everything God does is for our good. We can see proof of God's goodness all around us. All around us. Life-sustaining provisions he supplies. From crops that provide food, to the air that we breathe, the people that we're able to surround ourselves with, we have the goodness in us and even desire to do good when we've experienced that. But true goodness comes from God. We can't share it. We can't have hope to believe it unless we receive it. Would you stand with me today? As a worship team, as they play, and we're going to go into another time of worship. And as we've been having this time together this morning, and you've reflected, and you said, you know what? I know there's been a voice that's already telling me I'm a little ways away from where I should be. Today is your day. It's time to come home. It's time to turn and make a choice to run to Jesus. He is offering you his goodness. I want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good. No matter the situations, no matter what's happened, the Lord is good. Somebody needs to be reminded today that God is good and that he is for you. You've been through a tough season. You've had some tough situations, and you probably wanted to walk away from your faith. But if you're here today, your desire is that you want to be closer to God. So if it's your desire to repent and you want a taste of his goodness, I invite you to come and taste of his goodness. I would love to pray with you as we begin to give our heart, our lives, our mind to God. Total surrender to him. Through the song, you're welcome to come. Even after we sing today, there's a basket here in the front. And just as a sign, if you're saying today, you know what, I want to taste and see of God's goodness in a whole new way, I have something that I want to put in your hands. Not only I want to pray for you, we're going to believe God for change. We're going to believe God that he's going to restore you. He's already forgiven you, but as you walk away, I want you to walk away with something sweet in your hand and say, you know what? Today, I'm tasting God's goodness. And then you can open that package of Oreos and enjoy an Oreo, whatever you want to do. Give it to the kids. But today, you're making a statement and you're saying, I want to taste and see that God is good. And watch him prove himself, that he will show you his love unconditionally. There's nothing too hard for him. Won't you join me at the altar?